the name, Lord, that we're saved, Lord. God, Lord, that you've saved us, Lord, from the wrath of the tongue. You've delivered us, Lord, from the power of darkness. And you've translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son. We just thank you, Lord, again for your grace. We pray that you'll help us tonight, Lord, each one, to enter into a spirit of praise and of supplication of prayer tonight, Lord. We're glad, Lord, again for all that you've done for us. We pray that you'll save all our loved ones and our family are not saved. Lord, we know you're coming soon. And we pray you'll stir up the gift in each one of our lives, Lord. For we know, Lord, that you said in your word to redeem the time for the days are evil. We just thank you again for that sacred cross of Calvary now. And bless the one, Lord, we'll open thy word. We pray you'll get all the glory and honor and praise. And that your precious name will be lifted up on high. In Jesus' name.
Let's turn to number 47, and our thanks to God for the glory, the things and promises, and what did he do with the Bible? Number 47.
bless each one tonight. Praise God that's made an effort to come. The Lord bless you. I was reading the day where there's a church in America, a Baptist church in America, and they do a tremendous work with the community. They have thousands that attend the church. And during this lockdown, the pastor said there's 2.1 million, I think he said, in that part of America. And they abided by all the rules for 20-something weeks, social distancing, all these rules they have. And then they came together, and they came together, only a few of them, according to these rules as well. And they sang. And somebody came in and watched them. And they fined them 5,000 because they sang in church. They come back that evening again, and they fined them another 5,000. And this pastor was saying, the many people that have helped from drugs, young people in the community that they've went and lifted in buses and brought them to hear the gospel, and the different things they've done, and the statistics that the many that they predicted was going to die, it never reached nowhere near what they had said. It was a few hundred out of a few million. It was meant to be in the thousands. And that's the treatment they've got. And I tell you, it's clear. I know there's a virus, and I know all them things, and I know it's real and all that. But people are in absolute fear. And God's people should not be in fear, man. Amen. Amen. We shouldn't be in fear. The only thing we should fear is God. Amen. And I thought it was powerful. It's up on Facebook. Any of you that have it can go on and you can see it. And I tell you, 5,000 were fined. And all sorts of talk because they met in a church. All right, the pubs, though, they were all right. Mm-hmm. Pubs were allowed open and gargle and whistle away. That would be all right, but don't come to church. I tell you, we're living in the last days. Amen. Barry Smith said the mark of the beast will come in like a cartoon. Mm-hmm. And people will run to receive it. And that walk, he says, they'll run to get it. They'll want to get it. And people today are being brainwashed. And I tell you, it's God's word we need. We should have no fear. Amen. Yes. I tell you, I thank God tonight for the word of God. I know we have to abide by this and abide by that and abide by all the rest of it, but this pastor's not the stage for each end. What's he going to do now? What's he going to do now? Because they're putting them in bondage now with these rules. What are they going to do? They're fined them now £10,000 one day, $10,000 a day. Because they're saying. And you go to any of these places where they're meeting, and I tell you, there's no such thing as social distancing that I've seen. Mm-hmm. They're climbing on top bar, they're rubbing up against door, and there's not a word about it. And all that's going on, I'm telling you, look in America at the minute, this Black Lives Matter, it's the killing order. Mm-hmm. And more than order. And the man that this man, George, that was shot, was a terrible thing that happened, but he was an absolute rascal. He was no angel that they're making him out. He held a gun to a pregnant woman and robbed her. That's the lifestyle he led. And I tell you, the whole thing's a gimmick. And the Lord's coming again. The Lord is coming again. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight. I want to talk a bit about the gifts tonight. And keep in line with what we preached last Wednesday. And a brother John, it's well Sunday. And I thought it was tremendous. What a brother John said when they attacked the gift. Tongues attacking two gifts, interpretation as well. Mm-hmm. And it's so true. Mm-hmm. Now, we believe the word of God. Tongues is not our center, focus. Christ has to be our center, mm-hmm. not tongues. But that doesn't mean to throw them out. They're part of the word of God. Mm-hmm. And anything that takes your full center of attention, whether it's a man or anything, it can become occultish. It must be Christ, must be the center. But if Christ is your center, and he's John 1 verse 1, the word, tongues are part of it. Amen. Amen. We believe that tonight. Let's read John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Praise God. Let's read from verse 4 of John. John chapter 4. And we're looking at how the true worshippers or to worship God. You may remain seated. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And please, in case I forget, let us remember to pray for Sister Rita Carr's mum. She's got home.
She's good.
She's gotten home, so we praise God for that.
Amen.
Also, John Dale, I don't know if everyone has the church app or not. When I say the church app, WhatsApp, where we send out prayer requests. I know there's stuff goes on that. It's nothing to do with me. It's for put a prayer request, stuff like that. That's really what it's for. So don't be put off if somebody else does someone else on it. It's not really for any other things. It's for the church. If you have a prayer request or want to put a scripture up, encourage somebody, that's what it's for. Amen. Yeah. And there's some good stuff goes on it. But John Dale as well, we want to pray for John Dale. John Dale's been taken into hospital. He's had difficulty breathing. I'm sure most people know about it. And I was thinking, you know, when I went to see John Dale the last time, that's a few years ago now, isn't it? The last time, and he was really bad. And they never let me in. I want to tell you that. They never let me in. But I got in. There's a story to that, but I got in anyhow. And I'll tell you about that. When I got in, the nurse turned around and said to me, "How did you get in here? You shouldn't be in here." And I told her who I was and what I'd come for. And she said, "Give me a minute." And then she allowed me to pray for him. But nobody was allowed to see him when I get into them. And there's another man in the hospital I went to see, and the same thing happened. And the nurse turned around and asked her, and she said to me, "How did you get in here?" I said, "Through them doors." She said, "That's impossible because they're locked and they can only open from the inside." I said, "Well, it makes no difference to me what way they're open, but I'm in here anyway to pray for somebody." Now, I'm not saying anything supernatural, but I'm telling you this one thing. When the disciples were in jail, they were supernaturally released. And the angel brought them out. Now, if we believe this Bible, we need to start believing the supernatural. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And we're going to be Pentecostal, now we're not Pentecostal by organization, but we should be it by an experience.
Amen.
Amen. An experience. Mm-hmm. We're Pentecostal by an experience of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Let's read this. Chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. Remember these different brethren in prayer. Praise God. Verse 23. "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Let's bow our heads. If you have a request, just lift your hand to the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your precious word of truth. And Lord, we do come humbly from your throne room, from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have this opportunity and this freedom to meet and worship you and praise you and lift up your word and try and comfort one another and strengthen each other in the faith. And most of all, to worship you, Lord, lift up your name, for your name's above every other name. Father, we pray for Sister Rita, Lord, that thou indeed will touch her and give her complete strength and health. In the name of Jesus Christ, that she'll breathe normal, that she'll feel normal. Lord, that she'll not have any more problems. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, we ask you again for John Dale tonight. Lord, you know everything about him. And Lord, your word says you're long-suffering. And Father, we ask that you'll have mercy upon John Dale tonight. God, that you'll spur his life, that you'll raise him up, that you'll touch his lungs and touch his body, that his strength will come upon him and he'll be raised up and healed and come out of that hospital well in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray you'll really speak to them and deal with them and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus Christ's name, and all the family circle, all the deals, you know every one of them by name, Lord, and many of them have been praying for even in these services. And Father, we do pray again, you'll save every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ, and all the family circle, that you'll save every single one of them, and every home here tonight, represented for their children and grandchildren, But all that's near and dear on the hearts tonight, in-laws and friends and relations, that's not saved, Father, will you save them and set them free and cover them with your blood in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I pray again for my dad tonight, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, that you'll touch him and make him every bit whole. I pray for Sister Candace Malkison, that you'll touch her and make her every bit whole in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we need your help, Lord, even as your brother said on Sunday, we need the Holy Spirit. But thank you, Lord, it's a dead letter. But we need you. Your promise for two or three is gathered in your name. You would be in the midst, and in the midst of that to bless. And we take the Holy Spirit tonight by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And we bind the devil and all its cohorts in Jesus Christ's name by the power of the blood of the Lamb in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise God. If God's good, you know. It's really wonderful to see many of these different people getting saved. And a lot of people that have been praying for them, when Gary did his prayer meetings, those people on his list, and they're now coming. They're coming. And they're saved now, and they're serving the Lord. And it's not wonderful. Amen. Praise God. And God can do it. We need to keep on praying. Amen. And when you read Willie Mullen's testimony, his mother prayed for every single one of them every night. She lined up on a cobbled floor, and she prayed for every one of them. And he tells it, and when he tells it, you'd cry listening to it. And he said, when she got to him, she said, Lord, one day, make Willie a man of God. And you know, we wouldn't maybe agree with every single doctrine Willie Mullen had, I know that. But I'll tell you one thing, he's seen a lot of people saved. He's seen a lot of people saved, praise God. And I tell you, God answered that woman's prayers. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit's what we need. This scripture, I remember years ago going to a certain place and they're holding meetings, and I was meant to speak at those meetings, the opening meetings for a mission they were going to hold, and it was in the town of Drumore many years ago. And I was asked to speak, but this other fella, he got up and he spoke, and he was just out of college. And a bit exactly like your brother John preached on Sunday, and he preached from that scripture about the Holy Spirit, but he didn't have the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, the Bible's clear here, they that God wants us to worship him in spirit and in the truth. Praise God. Now we know the word of God is the truth, and we're set free by the truth. It is the truth that sets us free. And Ira will never set a man or a woman free, but only the truth will set us free. In John 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. So God's word is the truth, and the truth sets us free, and the truth makes us free. And there's another scripture says, no longer to be entangled again by the yoke of bondage. When the Lord sets us free, he doesn't want us to be tangled up again. But he wants us to remain free. Praise God. Like the nets, you know, the nets can get tangled. And when the nets get tangled, it's hard to untangle them. And I tell you, God does not want us untangled again in the binary elements of this world. We're in the world. There's things we have to do, but there's things we don't have to do. We're in the world, but we're not part of the world. Amen. We're born again of another kingdom. Praise God. Another kingdom. Look at John 16 and verse 13 and 14, what it says. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. So people talk about the Holy Spirit and truth, but the Holy Spirit is truth. Amen. When he, the Spirit of truth. So we see that the Word of God is the truth, and yet the Holy Spirit is the same truth. Praise God. Amen. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So it's the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. And every preacher that's going to preach a sermon, he must wait upon God, and he must ask the Holy Spirit to guide him what he's going to preach. He has to do it. And the Holy Spirit must guide a man to preach. And the Holy Spirit must guide every one of us as Christians. For the Word of God says the sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're not to be led by the spirit of the world. There is a spirit in the world tonight. But we're not to be led by the spirit of the world. We once were led by the spirit of the world, Ephesians tells us. And whom
We all had our conversation in times past, the lust of the flesh, led by the spirit of the world, the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh. And that word worketh means energizes. And the children of disobedience. And we see the children of disobedience in the world today, and that spirit is energizing in them. Evil's more than ever. How many agree with that tonight? Yeah. Now here's the thing about that. We can see all the problems and all the things that's out there, but then equally, we should be moved by the power of the Holy Spirit on a matter, to match that manner. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That unclean spirit or the Holy Spirit energizes the world to do things. The Holy Spirit should energize us to serve God and see the power of God moving. The Holy Spirit should do that, and I believe it will do that. Praise God. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. Who? The Holy Spirit. And I believe there's a fivefold ministry, because the Bible tells us there is. And you know, there's lots of churches today, people that say that the Bible's fundamentally their truth, and they'll hit it with a fist and say, we stand on the Word of God, and yet they don't believe there's a fivefold ministry. They don't believe there's prophets today. They don't believe there's apostles today. Some of them don't even believe there's pastors today either. But the Bible says there's a fivefold ministry for the perfection of the saints. And then there's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then there's the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And many of them quote, you know, from the scripture. They quote from chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. I'll just mention it. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part is done away with. That's what they quote. Now let me read this. It's a friend of mine shared this with me recently. I had a friend at certain college, and I won't name it, but you all know it. It's in this country. It's one of the biggest colleges. And they'll equip you with a suit and a collar when you join. You know what I'm talking about. But I want you to hear this. I had a friend at a certain college who said he was in one classroom being taught against Pentecost and tongues by saying that which is perfect was the canon of scripture completed the year 100. That's what they told him. So they told him that which is perfect has come with the canon of scripture, and there's many other denominations preach the same thing. They say this scripture is the perfect canon of scripture for 100 years, right? Now this student walked out of that room into this next class. Here's what had happened. He walked out of the classroom into another class on Bible prophecy and was taught that which is perfect is indeed Jesus Christ's return. So the same college in one classroom taught him that the canon of scripture is that which is perfect has come, and he walked out of that classroom into another classroom and they taught him it's the return of Jesus Christ, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the resurrection, and it shows that the very same college preaches the truth about this passage as well as it twists it till denied Pentecost. So on one hand they preach the truth about it, and on the other hand they twist that truth to deny the Pentecostal blessing. And many today preach it, and the message churches can't get by either. They say the message is that which is perfect has come as well. That's what they class to this scripture. But I don't believe that's right either. I believe it's the coming of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus Christ is that which is perfect. And I believe Jesus Christ is coming again. Hallelujah. It's just like also they take the other scripture. If you went back in your Bibles, and I didn't plan to say any of these things tonight. But they take chapter 12, verse 31. But common earnestly the best gifts, yet show on to you a more excellent way. And then they use that scripture to do away with all the gifts. But that more excellent way is love. And when you learn love, you'll learn how to use the gifts even better. Amen. It doesn't do away with them. But they take that scripture to try and block out all them nine gifts from one scripture. They misquote the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Now, if we're going to be real people that believe in the Pentecost experience, we're going to have to walk with people that believe the same thing. Amen. Amen. There's no point us going somewhere that doesn't believe the things we're... That's different if you're invited to preach. That's a different story. But I'm talking about as in a way of fellowship. How can two walk together except they're agreed? They can't do it. That's why the Word of God says, come out from amongst them and be ye separate. And in one classroom they teach against the Pentecostal blessing, and they teach against tongues, and they use that scripture, then they use the same scripture for a totally different doctrine. Now the Bible, the Word of God says that God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
There's not two rights. There's one way of it that's right, and I believe it's the second coming of the Lord. And He's absolutely perfect, and He's coming.
Amen.
Praise God. And you know when the Lord comes, we will know as He's known then, all right, we're going to be changed. Paul talks about us looking through a glass. You know how he talks about it. And I've heard people interpret that. Look, when the Lord comes, you're going to be changed. And you're going to be known as He's known. How many knows that's the Word of God?
Amen.
And you can read Corinthians and write through it in Thessalonians, and you know that this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's thy sting, O grave? Where's thy victory? Was not the truth tonight?
Amen.
And I tell you, there's churches. I remember in a church one evening, and I began to pray in tongues. The Spirit came in the service, and people walked out past me. They didn't want to hear tongues. And we can get so starchy that we are completely afraid of tongues. Then we could go to a whole extreme where we think everybody must talk in tongues or two. That's two extremes. But there's a truth somewhere. Amen. And it's like a servant of God said, stay in the middle of the road. Praise God. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Praise God. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, He shall glorify me. For He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit will take the things of Jesus Christ and show them unto you. Praise God. I tell you, you know, if we're to know what the Word of God's saying, you know you can't learn a revelation. How many knows that? A revelation is what it says. It is a revelation. A revelation is something that God reveals to you. But going in this scripture, if we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, and the Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth, and the Holy Spirit will show us things what will glorify the Lord, then it is the Holy Spirit that gives us the revelations. Is that right? Now, how many knows there's not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? That's false teaching. That's three gods. There's one God. One God, and that one God had a Son, the Lord Jesus. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And you know the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and the same Bible says God was the Father of Jesus, so the Holy Spirit and God's the same one. That's the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So it is God, Spirit, God, the same as He did to Peter. He says, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which art in heaven. And Peter had the revelation from God, the Spirit, God, and God is a Spirit. Remember, God is a Spirit. We read that in our opening scripture in John 4, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Spirit of God revealed to Peter the revelation, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen? Yeah. And I tell you, we need the Holy Spirit. And I believe in tongues greatly. I believe in all the gifts of Spirit. And outside of tongues and that, we need the Holy Spirit every day to lead us, to guide us. We should be praying that we are filled afresh with the Holy Spirit every day of our lives, of when we go out and meet our fellow man. I don't know how you pray, but I pray that God fills me, that God will help me have a testimony. And many times I've failed them, but I thank the Lord He's never failed me. Hallelujah. And you've failed Him perhaps, but He's never failed you. And the Lord loves you. Remember when I preached at a drive-in about the love of God, and I saw when I studied it and waited on the Lord that God's love never changed for one of us, but it remains the same at the start. It's a sexy in the night. He still loves us. Even when we fall short, He still loves us with the same love He always loved us with. The devil doesn't want you ever to see that, you know.
Amen.
But God loves you. You know, if you're children, you know, sometimes they do things you don't want them doing. And when they grow up and get their certain age, you can't tie them in the chair. They're going to do their own thing. If they come to adulthood and a certain age, and they're going to go places and do things that me and you might want them to do it. But there's only one thing me and you can do, and that's pray for them. We can't tie them in a chair. But I tell you, if we will pray, the Holy Spirit will go after them. Amen? We have to believe that, don't we? Amen. The Holy Spirit, the token, praise God, the Holy Spirit, after them. And I believe this is so clear. The Holy Ghost is the leader into all truth. And the Holy Ghost will glorify Jesus Christ. And I tell you, any preaching should glorify Jesus Christ. It should never glorify any other man, only the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about William Branham or Smith Wigglesworth or Jack Cole. We appreciate all the men and the wonderful prophets and servants of God, but it's about glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. And them men would say, if they were here, I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's their own words. No creed but Christ, no book but the Bible. And I believe when we have the Holy Spirit will lead us to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and help us to preach Christ. And the Bible says, if I be lifted up, Jesus Christ, I will draw all men unto me. Now look at this, John 14, verse 26, for the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, praise God. And many times, many of us need the Comforter. People that's lost a loved one and going through things in life, and many times it's difficult, but thank God there's a Comforter. This Holy Spirit, the Comforter. You know, it's good when somebody encourages you, but there's nothing like the presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit coming upon you and comforts you, doesn't it? Praise God. The Comforter, how be it? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, what I've said unto you. He will teach you. So I tell you, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we don't have the teacher. Now I believe there's teachers. I've said that already. I believe there's a fivefold ministry. I believe there is genuine Bible teachers. I believe that. But having said that, every one of us needs the Holy Spirit ourselves to teach us in our day-to-day and everything. And then when we hear the truth preached, like Brother John said, there's someone that discerns in you. It's the Holy Spirit. It's a discerner, isn't it? And it discerns the truth. It knows the truth. It amens the truth. And if it hears an uncertain sound, it won't amen it. Because it knows that my sheep hear my voice. And a stranger that will not follow. Praise God. How does Jude exhort the Christians in Jude 1 verse 20 to build themselves up in the most holy faith? Look what Jude said in verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a lot of people that have tried to stop people from praying in the Holy Ghost. But Jude says to do it. Amen. Amen. Well, who's going to believe Jude? I am. Let's believe Jude. Praise God. And I know we have to have church order. And I could say, you know, there's certain things we have to do in the way of church order. We all believe that. But let's be honest, when the Spirit of God moves, we're going to know it. Is that right? And if someone takes place and it goes a bit outside of the order, so be it. If it's the Holy Spirit, let's have it. How many understands what I'm saying? We go by, you know, times and different things, but when the Spirit of God moves, we have to not resist it, but yield to it. And our plans must be set aside for the Holy Spirit's plans. Yes. And if the Holy Spirit wants to keep us 5 minutes extra, or, you know, anything different, or someone takes place, or maybe the Holy Spirit will move in somebody, and the preacher not get up as quick as he thought he was getting up, if it's really the Holy Spirit, we want it. Yes. Amen. Amen. How many understands that tonight? Yes. Praise God. Now, we do have an order, and we try and follow the best we can do it, but we still want the Holy Spirit to move. And when you read in the revivals, when the Spirit of God really fell, it clapped throughout. Now what I mean by that was they never went home. There's no problem getting in the church. You couldn't keep them out of church. When the Holy Spirit fell, when you read of Duncan Campbell in Scotland, and that mighty revival, and Evan Roberts in Wales. Oh, I tell you, I read about Evan Roberts, and I thought I would be smart and pray the way he prayed, but I soon stopped praying the way he prayed. I've been honest about it. I know you might say, well, I'd have prayed like, but listen, Evan Roberts prayed that God would move him and that God would shake him. And you read Evan Roberts' life story, and they say that God would take Evan Roberts in the nighttime on in the heavenlies and give him visitations and show him the revival that was coming upon Wales supernaturally, out of body experiences. And they say that this bed banged on the floor so hard that the people heard it. The banging of his bed. And they wanted to know, Evan Roberts, what are you doing in that bed? He near wrecked the bed. But it was the Spirit of God visiting Evan Roberts. Amen. And I tell you, you know, sometimes the Holy Ghost might make you shake or bang or something. But don't worry about it. Praise God. They spoke in tongues the day of Pentecost. And they said they're drunken. These fellows are drunk. That's how they reacted. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit's real. The power of God's real. And I want to encourage every one of you to seek the Lord for the Holy Spirit, for the power of God. And I believe if we seek for the power of God, the Lord will hear us. No question about it. I believe with all my heart. Yes. Praise God. You see, what happens is when God starts to move in a fellowship, and there's a bit of a move of God comes, and some things start to take place. The next thing you know, the devil trying to get in. He said this, or she said that, or somebody done this, or somebody done that. And they get you talking about each other or something like that to try and stop the move of God. That's the devil. That's the devil. But we need to love each other just like we love the Lord. How many believe that tonight? Pray for one another. Esteem your brother above yourself. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? There's a fellow said in a meeting one time years ago, he said, if you got something you cherish, he says, go home tonight and give it to somebody that you don't think a whole lot of. Go and give it to them. And I tell you, that's a challenge. Now, I'm not saying God's telling anybody to do that. But what if he did do that? What if God did do that with any one of us and told us to do something we really cherish, give it away to somebody? That would be a test, wouldn't it? Amen? And you know, I heard of a man years ago, and he was praying us many years ago when a £5 was a lot, and he received £5 in the post. He had no food or nothing. And he received £5 in the post, and he said to his wife, he said, I pray, and I feel to send this to another man. And his wife said, you do what you feel led to do. And he posted it to somebody else, and they cried, they wept, because they hadn't even the bread in the house. They had nothing in the house, nothing. Now, I don't mean they were getting the brew or getting some of these modern stuff they had. Neither, none of that. There was nothing. And a fella came round the door that night, and he'd got bread out of the bakery, and he'd shot a couple of wood pigeons, and he came in with it. And little did he know that was their supper that night. But God honored them. And several days later, they received £21, and they posted £5. You cannot outgive God. I mean, God wants his people. And it's not just about money. It could be anything. But the Holy Spirit wants us to hear him. You understand me? We need to be close to God to hear from God. Hallelujah. And I believe this year is the most important meeting we can come to. It's a prayer meeting. It's the least attended, and it's the most important. It's a powerhouse service of the whole church. And you can't get people to come that. And that's part of the world's doing. The God of this evil age, he's hooked this world up wild. Because he's everybody running in a rat race. And people have no time for the things of God today. And there's a man in America, they're trying to meet in a fellowship, and they're getting penalized. The world's not for us, it's against us. Amen? I tell you, we need to be sincere about it. We need to be real with God. Amen? Think of the time we would put in and other things. But what time are we willing to give to the things of God? To pray and seek the Lord. This lockdown's been a blessing in many ways, because it's given many of us time to seek God. Yeah. And lock ourselves away with the things of God and wait upon the Lord. And I thank God for them type of times, praise God. Brother Beecham was telling us it's been a blessed time for him. He's been able to spend so much time waiting on the Lord and praying and seeking God. And I tell you, as a preacher, it's good sometimes, you know, when you can come aside and just wait upon the Lord and have a break in that sense, to just seek the Lord and wait upon the Lord. You know, it's been 5 months from this started to we had our first service here. It's been about 5 months. I know it doesn't seem like it. 5 months. And I tell you, the devil could keep you out of church for a year, he'd do it. And he'd do even worse than that. He'd put you back into the world if he could do it. He'd sift you. And he'd sift you. But thank God Jesus says, I've prayed for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close. I know I'm spoken long, but I'm going to close because I want time left that we can pray and seek the Lord tonight. And there's so many things I could say. I've said enough. You could preach too much, you know. But you never can pray too much. You can sing too much. And you definitely can talk too much. But you cannot pray too much. The Word of God says pray without ceasing. And covet earnestly the best gifts. You think tonight when you're sitting in these chairs, think of this evening. Think if there was a gift you wanted out of them 9 gifts, which one would you want the most? Which one do you think you would need the most? Well, then that's what you pray for. Pray earnestly and covet earnestly the best gifts. And I believe all the gifts are good. I believe they're all good. Praise God. And we certainly need gifts of healing today. My, if ever there was a day we needed the gifts of healing and work in America, we needed today. People's dying. And cancer, it's unreal in this country. It's one of the worst places for cancer in the whole world. Did you know that? Here in Ireland, people's dying every day with cancer. And all this COVID-19 and all this stuff. And they're not treating people. And so much has been put on the side burners because of this whole chaos that's happening. And people suffering and they're dying. And you know, I'm telling you the truth. If ever there was a day, we go back to Wigglesworth and William Branham and all these men and ministries of healing. But if ever was a day we needed a gift like that in the line of healing and the supernatural, we needed the day. How many believe that tonight? Praise God. And those of us that God's gifted in some way, we need to stir them gifts up. We need to start to operate them, start to use them, start to train the faith muscle. Amen. Put the faith muscle up to 19 inches. You know the psalm said, pump the faith muscle, practice it, and believe God. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight. And please remember Sister Candace and also John Dale and anyone you feel led to pray for tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and upon my servants and upon my handmaidens I will pour out of my Spirit. Lord, lots of people are saying it's happened. But Lord, maybe it happened at Pentecost, but we need it again. Amen. We need another outpouring of your Spirit. We need a visitation of the power of God in our lives, in our homes, in the meetings. Helping us, Lord, to witness to the fellow man and fellow women. Stirring up the gifts in your people. Lord, if you would come again and work amongst us as your true body in a very supernatural way. Lord, we know that you have a true body and your life is in that body. And we pray, Lord, that you'll stir up and breathe afresh on that body tonight the Spirit of God. Help us, Lord, to seek after you. Help us to pray. Help us to set aside time to seek your face, to call upon your name. Help us, Lord, I pray this evening. Make every one of us the men and women that you want us to be. We don't want to be what somebody thinks, but we want to be what you want us to be, and you want us to be change from glory to glory like unto your own glorious self. Change us each day, Lord, from glory to glory. Renew us, strengthen us, fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Father, you know the tremendous needs of people and those that perhaps could come into this very building seeking a miracle, seeking a deliverance. Oh God, even as we heard on Sunday, we need the power of God. We need the Holy Ghost, Lord. We can't wave someone of a man over them, but we need the wave of Almighty God to come on the scene. The Spirit of the Lord to move amongst us. Fall upon us afresh, O Lord. By your Spirit, I pray. Baptize your people. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, I ask it this evening for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let's continue to seek the Lord.